3rd of July, with Sarah, Venerable Panyabahulu, Azita, Sukhin, John, Knowing, and Paina.
Sometimes the word ubhakicha, preparatory tasks, is mentioned. And Venerable Dhammananda told me that in the introduction to the Theragata, it mentions, if I'm correct, that all of the Theras had previously developed or attained ubhakicha. And the references in the Visuddhimagga indicate that ubhakicha refers to jhana, attainment of jhana.
How do you spell it?
P-U-B-B-A-K-I-C-C-H. From your understanding, the Teris, the sisters, and the Teras, but we were talking about the Teris, to your understanding, had they all attained jhana prior to becoming arahants?
I couldn't say anything about those Dera and Teri, but in order to understand reality right now, if there is no development of understanding, it's impossible, and we don't know the accumulation, whether they had accumulated the jhana with the panya or just panya, we don't know. But since what is told in Tipitaka, it must be like that. But it's beyond our thinking about.
I was just a little bit surprised because some of the examples there's just mentioned that they were just leading ordinary lifestyles and then they heard the teachings and developed stages of insight and became arahants, and there seems to be no reference at all to prior jhana or jhana as basis for insight. But from this term in the introduction, it suggests that even if there's no mention, that they had actually all attained jhanas.
I think that anything can arise when there are right conditions at any time. Even now we don't know what we have accumulated at all. Until time comes, whatever arises, then we know that it has to be the result of the accumulations. Otherwise, it cannot arise at all.
So that's a good point, that we don't know what jhana may have been developed in previous lives, and if we were on the point of becoming an arahant, what previous accumulations might come to the fore, because it depends on so many conditions.
Beyond expectation. May I ask, how about the development in Chiang Mai?
I'm still struggling.
It has to be like this, yeah.
I'm still struggling to understand such a different way of doing things.
And the struggling is avijja and attachment.
Okay.
So one can understand how much the accumulation is from life to life, from each moment of seeing, hearing and understanding. So through, one begins to see life as it is, and one can see the difference between avijja and vijja. And this outright understanding, even reality is now appearing. Avijja cannot understand it at all.
This has to be very fast.
So fast, like the magician all the time, what appears through his magic tricks.
Earlier outside, we were talking about problems in England or other countries and how it's really just the world of thinking at this moment and just the worlds appearing now.
Because the absolute truth is no self at all. How can the visible object be someone or something? Because it's only the reality which can contact the eye base, and if citta does not arise, it cannot appear at all. Just that, each moment, whatever appears, is conditioned by citta, seeing it, experiencing it. Without understanding it, it seems to be the world, big world, but actually there is no self and no one, nothing at all. Just different realities arising and falling in succession. Until then, panya can see.
How important, Ajahn, is it to distinguish between nama and rupa every moment? Is it very important to do that?
Otherwise, there must be ignorance and idea of something that is attanuttiti. Because the word atta is opposite of anatta. So as long as it is something, it's not anatta. It is atta all the time. Even we don't call it, but it's that which appears as something all the time. That's why patience is one of parami, and satya is also parami, and antidana is also parami. Otherwise, we don't understand why paramis work. Because when all kusala dhammas do not arise, how can there be the elimination of all akusala? Since there's a lot of akusala that hinder the experiencing the true nature of reality right now. And when one comes to hear the term avicca, it seems like, where is it, avicca? Because we cannot touch it. But it's the moment when there is no understanding reality which is now appearing.
Can you say a bit more about distinguishing between nama and rupa every moment?
It's not trying to, but it's the development of understanding. That's why there has to be the knowledge or understanding from hearing, so that there can be conditions for direct awareness right now. Because it has to be very natural, like the mind dog, Dvara Vitichitta, can follow the sense dog immediately, very naturally. But usually the mind dog process are avicca or akusala. But it can be right understanding instead. So as the akusala follows the sense dog naturally, this awareness, sammasati, and samadhi can arise after the sense immediately, as naturally. Otherwise, it's not the right path, because it's conditioned or motivated by the idea of self all the time. Even just a little bit is there. That's why Panya can see the mitchatiti or attanutiti. It has to be completely eradicated.
On Saturday, I gave a little summary of one or two of the points we discussed on the discussion list, and I mentioned that in response to a comment about wishing others well or wishing others a happy rebirth, you just said self, self is there. And Nina replied and said she found this hard to swallow. What about metta? What about the social aspect? Do you have any further comment about it?
When there's right understanding, I think that social will be better with metta and all wholesome jitasikas developed.
So her comment was that when we wish others well or when we wish someone a happy rebirth, isn't it with metta? Because your comment was, no, it's self.
I think that we don't have to make any wish or to wish, because it's always there. No need. You have more when you wish.
You have more.
What you like to have. Now, we all have what we had wished for. We wished to see, we wished to hear, and now there is seeing, there is hearing. So we have what we wished.
But if we wish others well, or we wish others happy experiences...
Just wishing or do something for them.
I see. But still, it could be wishing with metta.
At the moment of having metta, do you have to speak? Or at that moment you don't have enemy, you don't have ill wish?
Yes, you just have...
Yeah.
You have goodwill or good wish for the other.
I think that when one comes to study the teachings, somebody thinks that she'd like to gain a lot from hearing. But actually, it's only learning what Buddha had enlightened and taught us about, so that we can learn to understand. That's all. No expectation at all. Otherwise, lopa or clinging is there, wishing to gain or to get something out of it so soon. But actually, it's impossible. Just to have right understanding from hearing correctly, perfectly, like Dhamma. See, if there is the understanding, as we say, all are dhammas, No one can condition them to arise right now. So Panya can develop to that degree that it comes from the direct understanding of reality which is now appearing. And this is the way, because without the understanding, how can anyone get rid of lopa or eliminate lopa? Because it always follows to whatever one is here or there.
So when you say in that example there's always self, it doesn't mean there's always self-view, but just you mean attachment or clinging to oneself, to the wishes.
And I think that everything we're talking about is just the words that we heard, but it's not that we begin to really understand with awareness or right awareness, because they arise and fall away so fast, beyond imagination. How can there be no one here, just visible object and thinking, sound and thinking, if there is no awareness beginning to see that visible object is just like this, not different from this moment at all? Because usually there is no time to understand it, just to think about it as visible object. But when it's time for awareness with understanding to know that it's now appear as itself, as no self, no one at all. Like sound, it appears as sound, so visible object appears as visible object. Hardness appears as hardness.
Could you relate this to the question that Venerable Panyabahulo was asking about knowing nama and rupa now? You're talking about knowing visible object, sound as sound, and hardness as hardness. So which is it, nama and rupa, or visible object and sound?
Because if we read or listen that sound is rupa and hearing is nama, is that the understanding of sound and hearing? It's not at all.
No.
It's just sanya, which begins to remember the two different words, nama but rupa. But whenever there is awareness, there is the development of understanding the difference between that which is hard. See, it's hard. We don't have to think that hardness is rupa. Not like that at all. Because hardness is appearing to panya, which can develop the understanding of it as just it's not a cup. It's not anything at all. Just hardness is now appearing. So it depends on panya, whether how much panya can understand that as just a reality. And that which experiences hardness is real and is no self, is no body at all. It's just the moment of that which is now experiencing hardness, which is different from the moment of experiencing sound or visible object. So it's not just apply the term, but it's the moment of developing understanding when awareness is conditioned to arise and to be aware. No one there. So it's like a long, very hard task, but it's the way to understand reality with non-attachment. That we would like to experience it. We try so hard to experience it. We would like to see the arising and falling away of it. That is all done by attachment. It's not right awareness at all. It's so tricky and so crafty that Buddha kept on saying that lopa is so wise to lure or to deceive, okay, and to lead like teacher and follower all the time. That's why when he became enlightened, he said about lopa as he has seen lopa as the what you call it?
The ruler of the house.
Yes. And if we keep on remembering that all the teachings will bring to detachment, it helps. Whenever there is attachment, it's not the way. And panya, which understand that, will let go that wrong understanding and wrong path. And be sure that panya can really directly understand reality right now as it is, when it's developed. But when it's not, no matter how much one would like to experience it, it's impossible because it's not anyone at all. It's only the developed panya to that degree.
It's almost like what most people do naturally because of the accumulated lopa is that once they hear about the teachings about lopa, how it's the leader and the follower, like you said, and the value of panya, they try to bridge that gap between panya and lopa with lopa. They do something to have panya, which is making it more difficult to have panya.
So when one knows that the Dhamma is so very deep and subtle, then we just study carefully.
So could we say that the greatest hindrance to the development is attachment?
And avicca. That's why panya, vicca can eradicate lopa.
Because it just seems to follow so quickly. The idea of release from dukkha is very attractive, and is clinging to that idea almost immediately.
And when one is very careful about the teachings, one will understand one's understanding of Dhamma, like now. What about the understanding of visible object and seeing? Very natural. When there is no understanding of these, it means that the panya from hearing is not enough yet.
So you're talking about knowing visible object as visible, having that deep awareness.
No one, nothing.
When we were helping you to prepare for your talk on the telephone, you were talking about the world and Buddhism and social aspects. Of course, I didn't have a recorder, so I'd like to just prompt you to say a little bit more about how, if there's no understanding of each world, how can there be a happy one world, and how the only way is developing understanding, and how social work assistance is just short term, and how each has his own world, but the only way is developing understanding. So we have to help people to understand the teachings, not just material support. Can you say a little more about these lines?
Can you help the other with your lopa or with your metta and your understanding?
Well, the real help has to be with the understanding. Yeah. Can you say a little more about how the understanding of each world now as it appears leads to a happy world?
I think that we shouldn't expect even happy world. Just for the sake of understanding the truth, that's all.
It's possible that the happy world would become less happy because there's less gross clinging to things, seeing that it's
only the idea about the world.
I think though when there is a little bit more awareness of the gross lopa, then one begins to see the more subtle lopa, that it's just there all the time.
The self is doing something. It likes to manage.
There's no getting away from it.
But doesn't it make sense if lopa is the big culprit, as you say it is, then it should be known, particularly lopa.
When there is understanding, there is no attachment to it. But now, is there attachment to such and such?
There's lots of attachment to the idea.
So the only way is understanding and being aware. When there is the understanding of moment with awareness and moment without awareness, it can be conditioned for right awareness when time comes, and don't cling again to it.
Don't cling to that time coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to go against the current flow by the whole life to understand reality as it is.
What do you mean by going against the current of lopa?
Now, no current of lopa when there's no panya.
Every time there's kusala cittas, it's going against, or when there's panya?
The process of seeing, is there no lopa to the object which is seen, visible object.
Immediately.
See, even right then, current of lopa from sixth awareness all the time.
When you say that going against, it's a reference to understanding, moments
right.
of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like jumping from this to that, because that hasn't come yet. So what about this moment? Mm-hmm.